This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Do you take this woman as your lawful wedded wife? With this ring, I thee wed.
Hello and welcome to With This Ring number 17. I'm your co-host Ryan Everett.
I'm your co-host Cindy Everett.
And today we will be wrapping a bow on the GWCW list. A little earlier than, I think it was June, we finished the GWWE list, so.
True.
A little quicker this time around, but we're going to stick in the WCW realm for other projects that are going on. And tonight we'll be looking at the five matches of my top 20 that we have not looked at yet.
Got it. So have we looked at the other 15?
Yes.
Okay. Okay, so this rounds out your top 20.
Well, there's actually a couple, but we'll discuss that as we go.
You spend a lot of time on these rankings.
Oh, yeah. I mean, being locked down helped
That's
a lot.
That's true. That's a good point. It was a good side project.
Yes, it helped. I did watch more than I probably would have if I had to go to work.
Okay, yeah, good point. Fair enough. Okay.
And so the first match was Ricky Steamboat versus Rick, defending his world title against Ric Flair at Wrestle War Music City Showdown.
Ah.
It hit two names.
Interesting.
From the Nashville Municipal Auditorium in Nashville, Tennessee, of course.
Mm-hmm.
And this was the third match. So they had the match in February at the Chi-Town Rumble that we watched.
Yep.
They also had a match at Clash of the Champions in April that is also very high in my rankings, but it's an hour long.
Oh, really?
So I figured that might be a bit long for you.
It would.
That's like the would. That's the master's class. You're still getting your.
I'm getting my gen eds out of the way.
Right.
Still.
So maybe some other time.
Maybe you can save that for the guys all can do a live watch or something.
Maybe. But
thank you for not subjecting me to that.
Still a very good match, but
an hour.
I think it's actually 58 minutes.
Okay. Well, regardless, it's not the one we watched.
Right. Oh, 55 minutes. Oh, that's nothing. So the match we watched, though, was kind of slated as their final because Ricky Steamboat won the first one, and then the April one was 2 out of 3 falls.
Mm.
And they each won one fall, and then the third fall, Ric Steamboat won, but Ric Flair's leg was under the ropes.
Oh.
So they had to have a final rematch.
Oh, Lord. Okay.
And that's what this was. And it goes 31 minutes, 37 seconds, so very long.
It was on the long side. I think entrance-wise, I think Ric Flair wins if you're judging off. I guess it depends on what you're...
Yeah, it depends what you're going for. I mean,
right.
Ric Flair has...
Your demographic.
He has the 6 women that he walks out with, but there's also 40 women flanking
exactly.
The main aisle.
He has a lot of women. And Ricky Steamboat has his son on a pony.
Yep.
who came up with that idea? Do you know?
Probably the mom.
She's kind of like a stage mom.
Yeah, and that is quite the entrance that he makes there. And also, he's got it's kind of like a red Elvis suit on.
Yeah, I don't know what they were going for. How old is that kid now?
He's probably 33 or so. Born in 87.
All right, yeah.
Yep. So
does he have any sort of online presence?
He wrestled for a while. He was in like the early days of NXT.
Oh, okay.
But then eventually kind of, I think he was one of those people that had he couldn't really break out of just being Ricky Steamboat's son.
Gotcha. Yeah. It's so a it long shadow to get out of.
Yeah.
Are you looking up his son?
Yeah.
Richie.
So he wrestled as Richie Steamboat.
Yeah.
And
well, that's not a good start to distance yourself from your dad.
Right.
He's the same stage name.
Yeah. So, he was in NXT through 2013. And then He had a couple injury, a back injury that kind of put him on the back burner, and yeah, it doesn't really.
Yeah, I like this one though. In my notes, I said after I wrote very bizarre entrances, I said, and actually, I think you said this right after I did when we were watching. It's very technical.
Yeah.
Very physical. It's a lot of chops and slaps and arm bars. It's not. I said antithesis of a luchador match.
Yes.
Basically, not a lot of jumps, not a lot of moves off the ropes.
I know he's seen about
a couple, but
every once in a while.
Not as much as like.
Right. Yeah.
Rey Mysterio or some other match. Even Macho Man did a lot of. We'd have matches where you just kind of like go up and up right. and up and up and up. Yeah. So, but no, it was good. It was a little long, I think. My attention's, it's definitely slightly longer than my attention span.
Did you like how they kept going back to what the judges
Oh, said? That's right. That what didn't did really you make think any the judges? Sense. I mean, there's always a reason why they have a gimmick.
But... Right. Well, I think you thought it was going to go a oh, yeah. while also in this
that
one.
Did, yeah, because... The way that was, what was the premise again? It was up to an hour.
It was an hour time limit, but it wouldn't be a draw. It would go to a judge's decision.
Right.
No winner.
So usually when they allude to things like that, I guess in my limited experience, usually goes to that conclusion. So I thought for Occam's sure.
judges of WCW.
Exactly. I was like, ah, crap, this is going to be an hour. And they're just judging it totally arbitrarily.
Yes.
It's just like 400 points for Steamboat. No, 350 for Flair. So,
at various points, you told me to give a star, 10 points, a thumbs up.
We'll see if there's a legend or something in the back of the notebook.
This is notebook that I brought?
Exactly. So, but that didn't come to that, but Terry Funk caused some problems at the end.
Yes, so at the end, it's a Ric Flair wins with a roll-up, which is kind of fitting because that's how Ricky Steamboat won matches. You know,
mm-hmm.
It's not like a huge finisher, it's just...
Right.
Shows that at that moment he was the better man, not like completely.
Gotcha.
So it kind of leaves the.
It's of the. It's more like momentum than anything.
Yeah.
It seems
and it
like.
It
kind of
leaves the
skill.
Door open for a rematch. Like you just were able to get lucky that one time. I could have. That.
Oh, okay. I didn't realize it was more denigrated when it came to finishers.
Well, I mean, it's more. If you knock someone out, it's more definitive than.
Got that's
if you
true.
Get a roll up.
That's a good point. Nope.
So, okay.
What?
Okay, so yeah, so.
So you go through the mental Rolodex
yep.
there?
So the match ends, and then afterwards, Jim Ross is having an interview with Ric Flair, and I think Ric Flair and Steamboat, I think they shake hands?
They did.
Yeah, because this is like, because it's weird, Ric Flair in February was definitely the heel. And then in April, it's kind of like, he's still the heel just because Ricky Steamboat isn't a heel.
Gotcha.
And even kind of here, but here he doesn't even really cheat or anything. I think he might, like, pull the tights or something, but it's not like,
right.
you know, 1987 dastardly heel Ric Flair.
Right. Was Ricky Steamboat ever a heel?
Not really.
I can't really see him
not
as
like
one.
Under his, maybe like when he's starting in like the mid-70s, but even then I think he was, then he was like, the heartthrob, so they wouldn't.
Ooh.
They wouldn't want to make him a heel then.
Ooh, do a picture of 1970s Ricky Steamboat.
Could find 1978 Ricky Steamboat. What?
Oh,
I don't have that permission.
That broke your
Google
computer.
To look that up, apparently.
Ooh, so really racy.
No,
all right. Well,
Google does not allow me to look at that. Google does not want me looking at 1988 Ric Flair.
Yeah, he keeps getting Ricky the 404 Steamboat. Error message when he tries to Google 1978 Ricky Steamboat.
Makes sense.
All right, well, don't break your computer. Let's just keep going.
All right. So Terry Funk comes in the ring, though, and first he's like, oh, Rick, that was a great match. You know, I'm really impressed. Then he kind of jokes like, oh, you know, I'd like to be the next number one contender. And Ric Flair kind of tells him off like, you know, Terry, you were a great wrestler. But now you're making movies. You're not really...
Terry Funk was making movies?
Yeah, he was in Over the Top, the classic arm wrestling movie.
Oh, yeah.
He was also in the Patrick Swayze movie.
Dirty Dancing?
No. Roadhouse.
Oh, that makes more sense.
Yes. Is like a bodyguard.
Gotcha.
Or like Thug is his credited name.
Nice.
But, so then Terry Funk's like, oh, I was just joking, Rick, you know, don't get all hot on me. And then he Ric Flair goes back to the interview and Terry Funk attacks him and beats the crap out of him, including a pile driver on a table, not through a table.
Oh, that's right. There are so many very dangerous moves this week.
Yes.
Starting with that.
Yeah. Oh, God. Does that look good?
No.
It really helps to sell that Ric Flair had a broken neck at one point, that it's easy to see how this could.
Yeah, and lead poorly. To that. Yeah, absolutely. Oof.
But so, yeah.
Good. Yeah, like I said, overall good one. I like this one. Yep. Excuse me.
And then to continue with this storyline.
Kind of transitions.
But different matches, I would say pretty.
Yeah, this one was very bloody. Friendly. Yeah.
Yes, Ric Flair versus Terry Funk at the Great American Bash 1989 in Baltimore.
Once again, lots of hitting and slapping and punching. And yeah, Terry Funk's not like a fancy boy, I think, when it comes elaborate moves. He's just a bruiser.
Yeah, he will just go at it all the way. And it's like that from the get go. I think, they like meet each other in the aisle.
Yeah,
they're fighting
it starts
the whole
right
time.
Away. Yeah.
And then it goes back and forth. It's about a 15 minute match, I think. It's not very long.
No. But this is where they had Brandon. How did Brandon Iron even come out? I forget.
Well, Terry Funk brought that
That's
out.
Like that his cowboy gear.
Yeah, he
That's always his cowboy regalia.
Had a Branding Iron. So it just at one point it slipped to him by Gary Hart.
Okay.
And he blasts Ric Flair with it. And
they both use it a couple times.
Yeah.
It was always it was almost too forced. It was like, oh, get the referee distracted and bam, bam,
right.
bam.
Although when Ric Flair's swinging it, he is not taking any mustard off those shots. He is laying it in.
Oh, yeah.
Sure. Yeah, this only goes 17-23.
So that sounds right. Yeah, they both were bleeding, smacking each other with the Brandon Iron. Yeah, it went pretty quick. There was no dramatic build-up. I feel like I've watched enough of these. You kind of get
it's
rhythm
kind of,
and the flow. And there was no huge build-up to the ending here.
And Terry Funk hits a pile driver, but then he kind of just walks around. And I think Ric Flair gets his arm under the rope to break it. And then he kind of goes for one on the outside, but that doesn't work. It never works. When you try to pile drive someone on the outside.
What do you mean on the outside?
Like outside the ring. With the mats pulled up.
Oh, yeah. Eh.
You might as well just take a back body drop right away because that's what's going to happen. And then, or maybe you'll get lucky and someone will get slingshotted.
Oh, maybe.
So then,
I haven't seen a good slingshot in a while.
And because this is another one that ends with a roll-up. I think it's Ric Flair.
Is it a roll-up?
Ric Flair goes for the figure four, and Terry Funk rolls him up, and then Ric Flair reverses
it. Yeah, but then there was also nuts stuff after the bell.
Yeah, so after the match, the Great Muda comes out.
That's right, the Great. How could I forget the name? I know it was the green poison.
He spits the poison mist. It.
That's so Ric stupid. Flair. Did he actually ever do that in matches? Or?
Oh yeah.
How often?
Pretty much every match.
So he probably wasn't in that many matches. It's kind of gimmicky, even for WCW.
I mean, it would poison the guy.
Uh-huh.
It wasn't his finisher, though.
Oh.
Then he'd do something else. He did a moonsault.
Oh, okay.
Which, in 1989, was
That's pretty good. So why have to have, a weird poison breath gimmick if he was a good wrestler?
Because he's Japanese.
Oh.
Duh.
No, we're not going there.
Well, that's what it was, though. He wasn't the first Japanese guy that had poison mist.
Really?
Yeah.
Is that a thing?
Kabuki had it
for
years.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know poison mist was such a thing with Japanese wrestlers.
Yeah, they could get it in their glands or
something. Yeah, when's the last time that happened?
Tajiri was doing it 2 or 3 years ago.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he's still.
All right, I stand corrected.
Oh, yeah, poison mist is a very deadly substance.
Sure.
You don't want to mess around with that.
Yeah, well, and then Ric Flair looked insane by the end when he was doing the interview, and he had the top half of his head's covered in blood, the bottom half of his face is covered in green mist.
And it's all, very sweaty 40-year-old man into it.
Ugh, yeah. That was a look.
And then, after the Great Muda comes out, Sting comes out, because he was
too much.
The Great Muda, so they have Sting and Ric Flair of their moment of deciding to team up to take on the heels, and then they just keep brawling, in the back. There's, 3 or 4 times where you think it's over, and just all of a sudden either Terry Funk or Ric Flair just jumps at the other one.
Yeah, did they not know, to wrap it up, or,
Yeah, it was
to go on
kind
little,
of...
Like, What happened there? It seems like there's some sort of miscommunication.
Yeah, I don't know. It's not like they were running out of time. So I don't know, really. They just kind of didn't have a natural end to it.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, that's WCW really hadn't figured it out yet. Like, WWF, no matter what was going on, the pay-per-view was going to end with Hulk Hogan posing. So
they didn't have an equivalent in WCW? Yet.
No, like, Sting was probably who they wanted it to be, but he wasn't quite there yet. Ric Flair's not going to pose.
No.
Just bring random women out, I guess, would be his thing.
Yep. Okay. Fair enough. But yeah, kind of had an awkward ending there.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
All right. I got some War Games.
Yep. So the first War Games we watched.
Oh, my God. This is the other painful looking pile driver.
Yes.
Poor Brian Pillman.
Yes. Ugh. So it's the Four Horsemen of Ric Flair, Barry Windham, Sid Vicious, and Larry Zbyszko subbing for Arn Anderson. Okay. Not official member of the Four Horsemen.
Oh, okay.
A sub. Against Sting, Brian Pillman, and the Steiner Brothers.
Yep. And
Barry, where did the Steiner Brothers go to college?
I think they went to Ohio State.
Yes. As they...
Yeah, it was very prominent.
They're very subtle with that.
This is where Barry Windham just... They sewer bloody right away.
Yeah, he got really cut up, and it's just all over the mat.
Yeah, like right out of the gate, it was just woof. But then I made a comment at the very beginning that the ceiling was really low, and
we
were like, oh, that comes back.
Yes,
and
it does. It is, I mean, we talk about the other one, but this one, it like couldn't have been more than 8.5 feet.
Yeah, and I think both of them looked about the same height. And
I mean, Sid's like 6'10".
Oh, wow, okay.
So, and obviously he couldn't put his arms straight up, as we see eventually, so...
Yeah, when do they take the lid off, like the top gate off of War Games?
Just when it started with WWF.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, because I remember like when we went.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, that was over a year ago now.
Yeah, well, I mean, when they started with WWF, though, they always had at least one guy in the match that they'd want to do a spot off the top.
Right.
So, I mean, it made
sense. It makes sense. And the way they did it in WCW was the stupider way.
Then it was, like, I mean, it started, it was the Four Horsemen versus Dusty, the Road Warriors, and Nikita Koloff. So it's not like they were doing jumps off the top of the cage.
Yeah, good point. Yeah.
I mean, it's different. Plus, like, just what people expect now in different types of gimmick match. Like, if you were going to have a cage match now in the 70s and stuff, it was just throwing the guy and beating him up. Now, if you don't do something off the top, people would be like, well, what was the point of that?
Right, yeah. The bar keeps getting raised.
Yep.
Yep, no, this is, bloody, low ceiling. Oh, there's like a weird, like, group figure four move.
Yeah, all the faces get the heels in the figure four. And eventually, one of the heels is able to rake one guy's face, and then they all just kind of help each other.
Devolves again.
Yeah. So then, what happens at the end of this one?
Brian Pillman almost, like, gets his head popped off. I can't remember who puts him up in a pile. Sid Vicious, but because the ceiling's so low, it looked horrible. Oh, I was, like, cringing. And then as I was, like, freaking out over that, El Gigante runs out, I guess, to replace. Well, I was, like, half screaming, half watching.
Yeah.
I think they said, like, he was going to replace Brian Pillman, but then
he, like,
the ref was just like, no, it's done.
He's the one they say that he, like, submitted for him.
Oh, okay.
Like, I think he was supposed to throw in a towel, but he forgot his towel or something, maybe.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so he actually picks him up for the powerbomb. As he's lifting him, his legs hit the top of the cage.
That's what happens.
So
Sid
just kind of drops him.
Ugh.
And then most people would have been like, oh, okay, that's bad. Nope, Sid picks him up and tries to do it again.
Yeah, that's really bad.
And this time, at least, he kind of, like, pulls him onto his shoulder.
Right.
But he still does it very awkwardly.
Yeah, dude. Yeah. No.
Well, Sid is a lot of things, but not smartest wrestler is not one of them.
Not the sharpest tool in the shed.
No, he is not, unfortunately.
That would be scary for Brian Pillman, too. Yeah. I would be like...
I mean, he was okay.
Yeah, is he still alive? He's still alive,
oh,
right?
Oh, no, he died.
Brian Pillman?
Yeah, he died in 1997.
Oh, well, then he was not okay.
Well, it wasn't that that killed him, though.
What killed him? Drug overdose?
Drug overdose.
Oh, okay.
Painkillers.
Oh, okay.
Heart attack.
Well, I wonder why he had to take so many painkillers.
Well, it's probably because he... The year before, he flipped his Humvee like 6 times and destroyed his ankle to the point where he probably at least should have never walked again. Definitely could have died in the car accident.
Well, then, but, it yeah. didn't help.
I'm sure his, yeah, I'm sure every once in a while he still woke up a crick in his neck from Sid Vicious.
Ugh. Yeah, so that was hard to watch.
And this is a historic thing because it is the first of 20... First time in 18 war games that the heels actually win.
Okay.
And that just goes to tell you that something was messed up in the finish because...
Oh, yeah.
They never won except for this one.
Yeah, that was... Well, yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, that was Sid Vicious. I can't believe he did that. Poor Brian Pillman.
Poor Brian Pillman.
Yeah.
Poor Pincus. All right, and we'll take a little break real quick.
All right. We'll get back. Got back with 2 more matches.
Yep. Before we get back, real quick, we're going to run down all the great things that you can be listening to on the PTB Wrestling Network. Check out our Place to Be Wrestling Network store and show off your favorite podcast logo and great merchandise like t-shirts, hoodies, and more. Just go to www.tpublic.com and type PTBW in the search.
Marty and Matt are back for Pro Wrestling Love. In part 3 of their top 25 shoot-style matches of all time.
Neil Trauma and Dave Thakara have episode 3 of Craw Runology, a show-by-show walkthrough of Raw, and they discuss Ric Flair, Rob Bartlett, the Royal Rumble build, and more.
On the newest NWA Saturday special, Scott and Dr. G continue to count down their top 100 GWCW matches with number 40 through 31.
On episode 167 of the main event, Brandon Thurston joins the guys to discuss WWE's year of 2020 and the bank, what 2021 has in store for streaming, plus reviews, previews, and more.
Talkin' WCW is back. Tim, Jenny, and Greg are back discussing the highlight matches of one Lord Steven Regal.
Please rate, review, and subscribe. You can find us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Amazon Music. Just search for Place to Be Wrestling Network.
Check out our other feeds on our quad of pods.
The PTB Pop Experience is all about pop culture. We have the best in TV, movies, comics, trivia shows, and much more.
Jennifer Smith is always in the Jenny position with her unique takes on pop culture and life. Her feed is loaded with great reviews, great shows ranging from movies, books, Marvel, and more.
Join JT Rosero, Aaron George, and Chan Campbell for great shows on wrestling, comics, and more with the North-South Connection feed. Check out the histories of WWE, TNA, and other great wrestling topics and takes.
Glenn and Scott Butler are continuing their spectacular journey through music, films, and more on the Non-Toxic Fanboys podcast, where they try to enjoy the things they love. Find them at Non-Toxic Fanboys on Twitter, nontoxicfanboys.com, and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
And make sure to join our rejuvenated Place to Be discussion group on Facebook. Go to Face to Be, look up Place to Be, and request an invite. Discussions and fun with wrestling, movies, tournaments, and all forms of pop culture.
Our 2021 stretch project is determining the greatest NWA/WCW wrestler of all time. Go to facebook.com/GWCW matches and join the group to discuss nominees.
Be sure to check out placetobenation.com each and every day. We have new voices and fresh takes bringing you articles on topics in the worlds of wrestling, sports, and pop culture, including Trent SmackDown on Fox Report, This Week in the WWE by John Crow, Paulie's Perspective, Ben's Unpopular Opinion, and Matt's Disney Live Action Journey.
And if you're doing a little online shopping from Amazon, be sure to click on the banner on the right side of the Place to Be Nation homepage, or use www.placetobenation.com/Amazon. And it takes you right to Amazon and helps out PTBN with no cost to you.
All right, and we'll get back to the show. All right, and welcome back. And next, going down our list of the two 1991 matches that we have here.
Yep. Yeah, this one is Lex Luger and Sting versus the Steiner Brothers.
Yep, for the tag team titles held by the Steiners.
Okay.
Yeah, and this one's it's kind of an odd match. It was just like the Steiners are the tag champs, so obviously the best tag team. And then Sting and Lex Luger were like the two biggest faces that were also just didn't have anything to do that night. So they participate in this. And then, like, Sting had been with the Steiners 2 months earlier in the War Games match. So they were friends, but...
Not that good of friends.
Yeah, they wanted to compete.
And what was... I feel like we didn't watch a lot of Lex Luger matches. I thought he was more prominent.
He was, but great matches weren't really his thing.
Gotcha.
Like, he's... It's kind of weird with him. He's got good matches here and there, but, like, the really great matches he didn't have too often.
Okay.
I think would be the easiest.
I think I most know him as being the person with Miss Elizabeth.
Right. Right. That was not a good moment.
No.
Not a great match.
No, I was just going to say, completely different subject matter. It's Scott and Rick Steiner, right?
Right.
Okay, yeah. So I said moves with Luger and Rick are a little stunted. Yeah, this one I think was a little bit of a slow start.
Yeah.
This is also, we watched this the morning our kids got up at like 4:30 in the morning and didn't fall back asleep, so.
True.
I was very tired when we watched this.
Yes, that's true.
But it was short, and I said it was getting good, and then a Russian comes out and hits Sting.
Yep. Yep, that's right.
What?
So, yeah.
A lot of outside people running around in these matches. Yeah. Is that like a common thing for your top 20, or? I'd like to hear that about.
Kind of.
I'd like to hear that more about that from you.
I mean, I think like, when that happens, there's usually a story reason for it.
Is there? Really?
Yeah. Like, this was... They kind of...
The Great Moolah was his reason for coming out, or...
Well, he was also managed by Gary Hart, so he was teammates with Terry Funk.
Oh, okay. That seems kind of weak, but...
And, I mean, Ric Flair's the champion, so maybe he wants a title match down the line.
What's his name? It's not the Great Moolah.
The Great Muta.
Muta.
M-U-T-A.
Gotcha. Anyways.
So, in this, it's Nikita Koloff, and he had... started a feud with Lex Luger like a couple months before when they were having Lex Luger was the United States champion and they made a new belt, and since Nikita Koloff was an old U.S. champion, they had him be the one to give the belt to Lex Luger. While he was doing that, he attacked him.
Of course. Yeah, I think the only thing he's going to give up a belt voluntarily.
Well, it wasn't like he wasn't the champ or anything.
No, still, if you're holding a belt, you don't give it to someone else.
They thought he had So anyways, so he was feuding with Lex Luger going into this. And he runs out with the chain around his arm.
Yep.
To try and hit Lex Luger, but Sting pushes Luger out of the way.
Gotcha.
And he gets clobbered with it, with the chain
closed. Well, that was nice of Sting.
Yeah.
Well, not nice of him, but that's what happened, I guess.
And this one, I think, I see what you talk about, like the slow start. Mm-hmm. But it's like 2 minutes, and then after that, it's like just nothing but throwing big moves at them, like German suplexes.
Yeah, that's true.
And like, there's not even like punches or kicks. It's just all moves.
I feel like I should watch this one again.
Yeah, I really. And it's like you said,
I think this is going to be high on your list.
Yeah, they're all. I know. But yeah, there's like no chin locks or anything like that. It's just big bang, boom, right. Boom, 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 until the very end when a crazy Russian runs in.
Yeah, that's the thing. I guess I like when there's less distractions.
Yeah. Well, a match like this, though, you kind of figure something screwy is going to happen because the Steiner brothers probably aren't going to lose the tag titles to a non-team, but you're not going to have Rick Steiner cleanly pin Sting, probably.
Yeah, okay, fair enough. That makes sense to me now that I've watched so many of these.
Yes.
Then we do another War Games, 1992.
Finish it up with War Games, 1992. Wrestle War, War Games. The subtitle of this.
Wrestle War?
Yes.
That doesn't really roll off the tongue.
Wrestle War, War Games? I don't like it. All right, really. So this is Sting Squadron, which is Sting, Barry Windham, Dustin Rhodes, Ricky Steamboat, and they've put their... The qualms behind him, Nikita Koloff and Sting are friends now.
Oh, okay. Thank God.
That's why he kind of comes in the ring kind of oddly.
Oh,
like when he first enters. They kind of are unsure about each other, and then they...
That's right, yeah.
Then they clothesline Steve Austin, and capitalism and communism could reunite for that.
Exactly, yeah.
For that good cause against the Dangerous Alliance.
Rocky beat communism like a couple years before, right?
Yeah.
Not on the small screen.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
So the Dangerous Alliance, led by Polly Dangerously, of course.
Mm-hmm.
And Medusa.
Yep, of course, aka Paul Heyman.
Yep.
Very weird to see him
with hair.
Yeah, and even then he was balding.
Oh yeah. And he was like, I doubt he was 30 here. Let's see. 65. Yeah, he was. Oh my god. Yeah, he was like 27 years old.
All right. Well, you've seen my brother was pretty much bald by
now. Yeah, but your brother doesn't look like that.
That's true. Good point.
So, yeah, Steve Austin, Rick Rude, Arn Anderson, Bobby, and Larry Zbysko. And at this time, Steve Austin was the TV champ. Rick Rude was the U.S. champ. And Arn Anderson and Bobby Eaton had just lost the tag titles. So they were the big team to go. And Sting was the world champ. So they were all most of the gold was in this match.
I was going to ask, like, how they cobbled these teams together.
Yeah, it was, well, the Dangerous Alliance was, like, Paulie's faction that he had put together over, like, the last 5 or 6 months. And then, like, every week they just had, like, a 6-man tag featuring 3 of those guys against 3 top faces. And then the next week, a tag match. And then Sting versus, you know, Arn Anderson, or Rick Rude versus Ricky Steamboat was a big feud. So they just had all these different combinations until finally they, like, okay, Dangerous Alliance, Sting, Ricky Steamboat, and then, like, Dustin Rhodes, Barry Windham, and Nikita Koloff were kind of, like, the next 3 guys on the pecking order.
Gotcha. Gotcha. Well, this is another bloody one.
Yes, this is very bloody.
And probably the grossest part is, like, they zoomed in on Barry Windham freaking biting Steve Austin's bloody head.
Right after he'd thrown him into the cage about 5 times.
Like, that's gross. That's really unsanitary.
Yes.
And just, like, what they said beforehand, like, okay, Steve, I'm going to, like, bite your open wound. And probably. He's like, all right.
Yeah, why not? Ugh. It's a war games. There's no rules.
Why did Barry Windham think that was a good idea?
Oh, he's second generation wrestler, so he grew up with it. And
just normal
didn't
around.
Think anything about
normal
it.
Normal around the Windham house.
And do you know who Barry Windham's nephew is? Currently wrestling?
Give me a hint.
Lantern?
Oh, Bray Wyatt?
Yeah.
That was a good hint.
Yep.
I wasn't going to get it without a hint.
Yeah. He's actually named, his real name is Windham Rotunda.
Wait, what?
His real name.
Bray Wyatt?
Bray Wyatt's birth name is Windham Rotunda.
Rotunda? Like fat?
No, Rotunda was his dad, Mike Rotundo. IRS. Oh. The guy with the tie.
Oh, IRS is his dad?
Yeah.
So Barry Windham and IRS are brothers?
Brother-in-law.
Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure there's some, like, wrestling family tree out there you could probably...
Oh, yeah. One. I mean, nothing's as confusing as the Samoans.
Oh,
they're
yeah.
They're all interrelated.
Right.
Except for
right.
poor old Samoa Joe.
Really?
He gets no Aww. Love.
He's not even wrestling anymore.
No, he's announcing.
Yeah. Well, good for him. That's
yeah, it's
a good
better,
gig. Yeah. Yeah.
It's better for your health.
Exactly. Exactly. So, all right. But so, this isn't, well, and this yeah. is another one that was kind of weird. Well, the faces do win. So I guess they right. got that part squared away. But then they had Medusa get on the ceiling.
Yeah.
To, like, drop a cell phone in the ring.
Yeah.
Which,
I don't know what, I mean, like, I get the point of it because they wanted to get the cell phone to the heels, and apparently wouldn't fit through the cage on the side. Just had to go up top.
She could have tossed it in when they opened the cage.
Yeah, that also.
But
they, I think that's one that they like talked about backstage. Like, oh yeah, that'll be a good spot. And then, like, when they get up there, like you were saying, she's almost falling through the roof is sagging for her.
Oh yeah.
And I have a feeling Sting was supposed to do something to stop her, but he like just stands on the roof and kind of yells. He doesn't
well, yeah,
walk
he's,
out
he
because,
sees it bowing yeah, with he's her. He's like, that
150 thing's... pounds more than her, so.
Right, yeah.
It probably wouldn't have ended well, yeah. So. That one, that's the kind of one odd quirk in this match, I would say. I do love how before the match and even as it's going on, Paul Heyman has his huge spreadsheet
that's
of
right, yeah,
what we're going to do.
Plan.
If we get the advantage, you're going to go in. And then if we don't get the advantage, we got to work him to this
he's
corner.
He's a good actor. You got to give yeah, it to him. He's got a good presence.
Yes.
Like
he
he's a
you
character.
Believe
oh, yeah. Yeah. He plays that character.
Planning something.
He's very convincing.
And as always, of course, the heels win the coin toss. Because mm-hmm. you don't want the faces, they have the advantage. It's just
right.
not good storytelling.
No, no. So yeah, this was, I don't remember how, I didn't write down how this one ended. I forget.
Okay, so from the point Ric Flair gets in, or Rick Rude gets in, I think he's the second guy in for the heels. He's continuously trying to get the turnbuckle.
Oh, that's right. Oh, now I remember. So yeah.
Throughout the match, the heels keep wrenching it and trying to get it undone. They finally do, and Bobby Eaton is holding Sting, and Larry Zbysko swings.
That's right.
And Sting moves, so he hits Bobby Eaton with the steel post.
Right.
And then right away, the other faces come and like hold Larry Zbysko back, and Sting just puts on like a
like
an arm bar.
Right.
But that's enough because his arm was destroyed by this steel ring post.
Of course. That's right. Hey, I do remember that, like battling with that over in the corner. But this War Games is slightly more organized than the other one.
Which you'll see in my
rankings. Yeah.
All right. So first you go ahead and...
1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Okay, there's only five.
Yeah. How would you...
Like I said, I think I got to rewatch that short one.
Yeah.
Because that one I didn't really remember. I don't know. I liked the first one.
Okay. Flair versus
I'll put that as my number one.
Okay.
I will put the last War Games as my number two.
Okay.
Oh, come on. My phone keeps auto-creating lists. All is number one. Let's see what else. I did like the other War Games, too. I'll put that at number three.
Three, okay.
Except for the ending. Yeah, I mean, I'll put number four at the Ric Flair, Terry Funk. And like I said, I'll do this tag team match at five. But that's probably worth a rewatch. The Luger Sting versus Steiner.
Yeah, I mean, I think it, personally, it is, I think, the fifth out of these five matches for me.
All right.
Let's
hear. I want to hear yours now.
All right. So
you put a lot more thought into yours than me.
Should I give you all the matches? Like, should I just read my top 20?
Just read the five we talked about.
Okay.
Oh, so, then do you... Yeah, just the five we talked about.
Okay. So, of the five we talked about, I had... Oh, I actually had Ric Flair versus Terry Funk at number 20.
Okay.
So, it just snuck in there.
Okay.
And then, next I had... At 15, I had Steiner Brothers versus Lex Luger and Sting.
Okay.
And then at 14, I had the Four Horsemen versus Sting, Brian Pillman, and the Steiner Brothers War Games.
Okay. Yep.
And then... So, where did I put... At number 9, I had Ric Flair versus Ricky Steamboat.
Oh, okay.
But I will say, like, I have... All three Ric Flair versus Ricky Steamboat matches in the top 10.
Really? Okay.
And they're all, like, the order of them, though, is
gotcha.
Could change.
So 30% of your top 10 is?
Yes.
Ricky Steamboat. Okay.
Yep. And then number one overall and number one out of this list was Sting Squadron versus the Dangerous Alliance.
Really? Yep. That's your number one of all WCW?
I feel that's the best WCW match.
Really? Yeah. Why is that? I have to go into more detail.
Well, I think, like, War Games is a very WCW match.
Thing. That's so true.
That's
points for it right there.
It's points for that, and I think it's the best version of the War Games.
What do you mean?
Like, out of all the War Game matches, I think this is the best one.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. And so just, the best version, that meant, like, there was different, like, rules or
no, parameters. Just, like,
okay.
The best...
Instance
of it.
Okay.
And then also just, this is one where it's kind of weird. Like, I didn't see this match live, but this was when I first started watching WCW, so I knew of it kind of.
Okay.
Like, the Blockbuster didn't have WCW videos, unfortunately. So I think the first time I saw this match was probably like 2002 or something.
When oh, really?
I downloaded it off of Kaza or something where it took
I remember
7 hours to download a 25-minute match.
Yep.
But then, like, I was like, oh, this is really good. And then eventually when torrents became more of a thing and I could watch more old wrestling, it shot up even further.
Expanded your horizons.
Yeah. And I just, the Dangerous Alliance is great. And
mm-hmm.
just, this is their best moment.
Yeah. All right. Well, can you just do your top 10 maybe?
Sure. So at 10, I had The Outsiders and Hulk Hogan versus Lex Luger, Sting, and Randy Savage from Bash at the Beach with NWO forms.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
the match itself is okay, but it's the most important match in WCW history.
Pivotal. I can't talk.
Pivotal.
Take off the B and the E.
It's like the Hulk Hogan versus Andre, but a better match.
Yeah, gotcha. Okay, that makes sense.
And then 9, Ric Flair versus Ricky Steamboat from WrestleWorld, the one we talked about. And then Sting versus Vader from Starrcade.
Oh, you did like that one.
Yeah, that's really
You're a big Vader fan.
And that actually, technically, as you could see, it only had a 9.5, but I put it a few above a 10 out of 10 match.
Okay.
Just a personal preference thing. And then Ric Flair and Ricky Steamboat, the Clash of the Champions match, which we did not watch, but
the 55 minute one?
Yes, I assure you it's good.
Okay. Maybe we'll see.
And then the Enforcers, Larry Zbysko and Arn Anderson against Ricky Steamboat and Dustin Rhodes, the tag title match.
Okay, yeah.
Where Ricky Steamboat comes out in a huge dragon.
That's right, costume. Yeah. I remember that.
Magnum TA versus Tully Blanchard in the I Quit Cage match.
I remember watching that one with you.
Where they stabs each other with pieces of wood.
Yep.
And then Ric Flair versus Ricky Steamboat, the Chi-Town Rumble. So the one where Ricky Steamboat wins.
Okay.
And then 3 is War Games from 1987. So the first one where it's the Horsemen versus Dusty, Nikita, Koloff, the Road Warriors.
Okay.
Then 2 is Rey Mysterio.
Oh, that's right. Junior versus Eddie Guerrero. That's a really good one.
And then Sting Squadron versus Dangerous Alliance.
Yeah, good list.
So, surprisingly, my top 3 kind of covers all 3.
It really does. Yeah. Well, you have 2 War Games in your top 3. Right. But that's the quintessential match. Then you have Eddie Guerrero, Rey Mysterio, which is another kind of must.
Right.
Must do for your top list. Cool.
Yep.
How many Ric Flair matches do you have?
I think it's 30.
Okay. Actually, that was going to be more.
Oh, 40. Oh, wait. Ric Flair. Yeah, 31. And then I think 33 because 4 Horsemen.
Gotcha. Yeah, it depends how you've
run
it out.
And I'm sure the other, I'm sure Ricky Steamboat is number, yeah.
He's 17.
17, but he's also in the 1 match, so.
Yep.
18 matches, yeah. So, like I said, Ric Flair is definitely 1 for the singles poll, and I think Ricky Steamboat might be 2. It's just his time is really short.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's only there for, like, his 1989 where he wins the title. He shows up in January, and he's done by July.
Yeah, it's a short run.
And, I mean, 3 of those 4 months, he's the world champ. So, it's not, he doesn't stick around to get lower to, you know, Dolph Ziggler opening the pre-show match status. If he's there, he's going to be important.
Well, there you go. It's like a Brock Lesnar type, except not as juiced.
Yep.
Cool. I like it.
So, your thoughts on WCW as we...
Yeah, I was thinking, no, it's not as polished.
Right.
It's a hot mess, but it's like a lovable hot mess.
Right.
I miss The Undertaker. I miss Shawn. I miss Shawn Michaels. But then I got to get acquainted with the new cast of characters, like Brian Pillman, Arn Anderson, who I didn't really care for.
Long-haired Steve Austin.
Long-haired Steve Austin. I'm trying to think. You know, a lot of people, like Larry Zbysko, a lot of Barry Windham, a lot of names. Yeah. Although I think of all those, I think Brian Pillman is probably my favorite, like, wrestler. So, yeah, it's good.
Sting?
Sting. I do like, Sting, you're right. Got to see some Sting. So, yeah, a hot mess.
Yeah. And again, it's important to remember, like, with all this, you're watching the best of the best. Like.
Yeah, that's a good point.
And that's kind of what we're going to look at in our next.
Oh, okay.
Our next month's installment, where I don't want to call it the worst of WCW, because some of it's actually good. It's just the uniqueness of WCW. Okay. We'll call it. Some of it is horrible, don't get me wrong.
Sure.
Even like bad matches, I think, are better than boring matches.
I was going to say, it could still be entertaining.
Yeah. I'd rather watch a 7-minute match with, you know, let's just say randomly, a giant and a mummy who's named a Yeti, butt-fucking Hulk Hogan.
Right.
Than like a 25-minute match between Arn Anderson and, you know, Big Josh.
Big Josh?
Yeah, who would later become Doink the Clown.
Oh, okay.
We're going to watch a Big Josh match next time, so.
Okay.
Mainly just for the ring entrances.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, it's... Yeah, I can see why it didn't last. It was... I understand.
Well, the reason it didn't last isn't really shown.
The quality.
Yeah, I mean, it's really just... There was... It went from Turner to Time Warner to Time Warner AOL. And that by that point, the guy who was in charge of TNT didn't want wrestling on the program, the shows anymore. Even though it was getting killed by Raw every week, but it was still TNT's highest rated show.
Gotcha.
Like, if...
Well, then they got all the NBA Finals. Do they still have the NBA Finals? But that's like, you know, seven games.
Yeah, I mean, they got...
At the time, it was
they
on
have
TNT.
NBA playoffs.
I thought it was... But, anyways.
And that was only like, you know, once...
Right, exactly.
Like 2 months out of the year.
Right. Well, as Raw or Nitro every single Monday.
Oh, yeah.
So yeah, now I'm looking forward to the little bit more of the wackier side. Even more wackier side.
Yes.
Of WCW. But yeah, overall, like I said, good to kind of get some new faces.
Yeah,
and
I think it was enlightening, I think. In many ways.
It was.
Yep.
We can do stuff with monster trucks. Really, just the sky's the limit.
Yep.
Sky's the limit.
And you're Eric Bischoff, and they have an open pay checkbook.
Yeah, exactly. He really...
Get the... His imagination. The Bigfoot creator from Bigfoot the monster truck, and have him call the sumo... Monster truck sumo match?
Yeah, absolutely. Why not? Get the kid from the Wonder Years to show up.
Oh, he's there all the time.
Oh, yeah.
Jason Hervey. Running for high ground from Ric Flair.
All right. This was fun.
It was.
Good to go through the list. Yep. And see you guys next month.
Yep. We'll see you next time. Bye.
Bye.
darkness world stops turning. Ashes where the body's burning. No more war pigs have the power. And as God has struck the hour, day of judgment, God is calling. On the knees, the war pigs crawling, begging mercies for the sins. Satan laughing spreads his wings. Oh Lord!